I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. Welcome to Radio Times. Pennsylvania Attorney General Kathleen Kane announced earlier this year that she was not running for re-election. Her law license was temporarily suspended by the state Supreme Court, and she faces a criminal trial later this summer. Kane and her office have been embroiled in controversy and turmoil in the last few years, including the discovery of offensive emails involving lawyers and judges. There are three Democrats and two Republicans running for attorney general, and voters will decide next Tuesday on April 26 on a Democrat and a Republican who will face off in the general election. With us in the last of the candidates to join us in studio for one-on-one interviews is Republican John Rafferty. He's been a state senator for four terms, serving the 44th district here in Pennsylvania. He's chair of the Senate Transportation Committee, vice chair of the Judiciary Committee. He's a member of the Appropriations, Consumer Protection, and Professional Licensure and Law and Justice Committees. He's also a member of the Pennsylvania Sentencing Commission, and he served on the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency. And John Rafferty, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you, Marty. It's nice to be here this morning.
Nice to have you here as well. You have described a black cloud over the Attorney General's office as it stands today. How do you propose to address the problem of this black cloud?
Marty, what's needed in the Office of Attorney General is an individual with integrity, leadership skills, and a vision for the office. As the Attorney General, you're the managing partner of a law firm or the CEO of a firm of about 750 to 800 employees in 20 locations. And with my unique background, I can best handle the vision of that office and directing that office for the future. I have a business background. Unlike many of my opponents, I have a business background. I actually operated a small business for about 10 years. I ran a recreation center. We made it public, and it was a golf course, ice skating rink, swim club, restaurants and bars. Yes, I drove a Zamboni. Took care of the managing the facility, budgets, mortgage payments. And then in the back of my mind, I'd always desired to go to law school, so I went then to Temple Law School. Great opportunity, fantastic education opportunities there at Temple Law School. My third year in law school, Temple's big on practicum. So I did a practicum at the Philadelphia DA's office and worked there under the late Diane Granlund, who was a master when it came to handling people, knowing the law, and really learned a lot. And my stint there at the Philadelphia DA's office was Diane. And I worked with individuals like Jude Conroy and Mark Gilson, who are today career prosecutors in the Philadelphia DA's office. Wanted to continue to work in the criminal prosecution field, so I joined the Attorney General's office. Very fortunately, Roy Zimmerman took a chance on a 30-some-year-old. He hired me into the criminal law division, the Medicaid fraud section, where I prosecuted providers of medical equipment, medical providers who were stealing taxpayer dollars, the monies that was supposed to go to individuals for their health and welfare instead was going into the pockets of these individuals. So very cumbersome cases, very complex cases, grand juries were used. So,
And how will all that help you deal with what's going on in the Attorney General's office? Will a Zamboni help you?
Well, I threw that out there as to show you the varied background. The business background will help immensely. You are the manager of that office. You set the policy in that office. And it's not just criminal, though criminal prosecution is a very important aspect under the Commonwealth Attorneys Act. You are the chief law enforcement official. There's a massive civil division within the Attorney General's office. And after I left the AG's office, worth working knowledge of that, I went into civil law. And I practiced civil law for a number of years, from real estate and zoning to name changes to child custody issues. I practiced mental health law for 2.5 years. I was a solicitor for mental health law. And also practiced education law. I represent a school district and was a hearing officer for the county for a number of years before running for the state Senate. Then having my 14 years now, or going on 14 years in the Senate of Pennsylvania, where I've worked on a number of complex and complicated issues and have been the go-to guy for the law enforcement community and have worked on Jessica's Law, gang violence, gang recruitment, aggravated arson. Many of the laws I either worked on or authored are today being used by our prosecutors to put bad guys behind bars.
And I do want to pick up on all of that. I don't want to spend a lot of the whole hour certainly talking about the Attorney General's office, but it seems that there are questions about reputation, questions about some infighting within the office. How do you propose to address that, to deal with that directly? Should some people be fired? The Attorney General discovered all these emails that were sent back and forth between lawyers, prosecutors, and judges. How do we deal with the aftermath of that?
A number of individuals have lost their jobs because of that. We've already established an ethics policy and put it on our website. We modeled it after the governor's IT policy and the U.S. Department of Justice IT policy to say this is the proper use of government property. So we're
meaning
going
computers, right?
Make computers and any other fashion of cell phones. We're going to make sure that that it's all adhered to. Those policies are adhered to. We're going to build the professional responsibility back up in the office with classes with CLEs, and I'm going to take the time to visit not only in the Harrisburg office but the 20-some regional offices to go out and talk to the staff and say, here's what we expect of you. Here's the policies you need to follow. Here's the direction of the office. And you do this, I'll have your back. And let's all work together to once again reestablish and rehabilitate the Office of Attorney General as a chief law enforcement officer and as a chief lawyer for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and put it in a direction where it's going to benefit the folks of Pennsylvania.
But what does it tell us that lawyers and some judges felt comfortable in trading some of this offensive email? What does that tell us about our judicial system?
I think what you're seeing is what is a fact in our judiciary, and that is lawyers and judges get to know one another. Judges sometimes practice law and we're friends, and the friendships may have continued, though certainly behind the bench and in front of the bench, you have to be professional. And you have to be professional in the determinations that you make and follow the law and follow the facts of the case. I think, though, some of that camaraderie stayed over. And there was that looseness between one another on exchanging those emails, which was wrong, it was improper, and won't be tolerated in the future.
Does it tell us that there's an old boys network in Pennsylvania?
I'm not sure about an old boys network, and not everybody did that. you can't – as a prosecutor, you don't paint with a broad brush. You paint with a narrow brush. And there are bad individuals or individuals that make mistakes in any profession, and you can't throw everyone under the bus because of that. So I think what you do is you try to work to weed out or separate those individuals that may have been involved and get them counseling or make sure they're removed from a position of authority.
Do you think Kathleen Kane should have been removed? Now, her law license suspended temporarily by the state Supreme Court. You're a member of the legislature. How did you vote on that?
Certainly. I voted yes for removal. We had the pro tem appointed a special committee to look into the attorney general and a limited scope, the attorney general operating without a valid law license. And she had appealed the loss of the law license. The Supreme Court continued to uphold the suspension. So the committee, after extensive interviews with constitutional lawyers, with three DAs who came in and testified, two Democrats, by the way, and one Republican, all said that without a law license, we couldn't hold our position as a DA. And the fact that it says attorney general gives you the implication you have to have an attorney, you have to have a law license, a valid law license. So with all the evidence that was presented and the day the vote came and I did vote yes, the measure failed by, I believe, 3 or 4 votes, and the resolution was returned to the Rules Committee where it's still sitting today in the Senate of Pennsylvania. Concurrent with that, the House began to look at impeachment proceedings.
Hmm. Where do you stand on that?
Well,
I mean, you're not in the House.
I'm not in the House.
I understand.
They'll have to present their case. And really, as a member who would be a juror in that instance, I'd rather not say to all the evidence is presented before the Senate of Pennsylvania.
But does she deserve her day in court?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, she's going to have that opportunity. And she was invited to speak before that special committee. She chose not to. She sent over her chief of staff, I believe it was, who did not do a good job at all. I saw the television interview or the TV highlights of the hearing and read some of the transcript. And she would have that opportunity should the impeachment go forward. And she certainly has that opportunity come August when I believe the criminal trial begins in Montgomery County.
The Philadelphia Inquirer endorsed. You've had several other endorsements. They did say, and I'm just going to quote here, that your place in the political establishment in Pennsylvania, quote, does give us some pause as to his or your ability to take on political corruption. The question being, since you've been in the legislature for such a long time, 4 terms, whether you can take on your colleagues if necessary.
I have to laugh because the pro tem, when he endorsed me, The day I announced my candidacy, I said, this guy's not afraid to holler at me or take me on or take on a governor. And it's that same mindset. I'm a person of integrity. And the Superior Court of Pennsylvania in the Habay decision gave us a bright line test and said, you can't mix politics and government. So if that's going to happen, you will be prosecuted. And if you're going to take watches and cash for votes, you will be prosecuted.
What do you see as the number one issue that is facing Pennsylvania that is the responsibility of the Attorney General?
There are a number of issues, certainly political corruption and fraud against our senior citizens. But I think the overriding concern is the heroin epidemic in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Cuts across socioeconomic boundaries. It's not a rural. It's not a suburban. It's not an urban issue. It's all the issues. And all corners of Pennsylvania and central Pennsylvania all suffer from this heroin epidemic. I've worked on a number of issues in the Senate for prescription abuse, prescription fraud. Worked very closely with Senator Pat Vance, who was the chair of that committee. I even have some legislation proposed there that will have state-issued prescription pads with the watermark on them that we hope to get that piece of legislation moving as well. And the Attorney General's office has been supportive of as well. And I've taken the time, Marty, to, as I do with any complex legislation in the Senate, I take the time to speak with people, have interviews, and gain research information. I've spoken with doctors. I spoke with a pain doctor. I've spoken with the pharmaceutical companies as how we can best eradicate this heroin epidemic, really take it on. And I authored the bill that made gang recruitment, criminal gang recruitment, and criminal gang retention being used for criminal purposes, a crime in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, increased the penalties for it, recognizing that the criminal gangs are behind a lot of the importation of the heroin here. And we have outlined a heroin strike force that will work very closely with our DAs, who really have the working knowledge of where the areas are of concern within their counties. So we'll work with the DAs, the law enforcement community, and work with the medical community for education. We have to invest money in education to make sure that people understand what happens when you take these prescription drugs and you keep abusing the prescription drugs, and it's eventually going to lead to the cheaper drug, heroin. We're going to use our resources to enhance the prosecutorial team of the AG's office, the DA's offices, and bring in the feds to make sure that we really take this issue on headstrong. And, Marty, we're also looking at, and I voted for the Justice Reinvestment Act in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and had a little bit to do with some of the language, where we recognize there's the need in instances where they're drug users, not necessarily not the drug pushers, not the providers of the illegal substance, but the drug users, that we better put them into rehabilitation, rehab, and counseling than it would incarceration.
Well, let's take a very short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. That's John Rafferty. He's a Republican here in Pennsylvania, and he is running for Attorney General. There are two other – there's another Republican and three Democrats running for the nomination on both sides of the political divide, if I can put it that way. And the primary is on April 26th. And we have interviewed now all of the candidates running for Attorney General, one-on-one interviews here in our studio. We want to hear from you. 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. And stay with us. We'll be right back. Much more after this short break. This is Radio Times here on WHYY here in Philadelphia, here on WHYY. And our guest is State Senator John Rafferty. He's a Republican, and he's running for the Republican nomination for Attorney General here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And again, you can call us at 1-888-477-9499. We were talking about the heroin epidemic, much of it sort of coming out of people's medicine cabinets. It sounds like you're saying that you want to target doctors that, what, overprescribe? Or provide more guidance for doctors so that they don't overprescribe some of this pain medication?
That is part of the problem. You have some doctors who will just keep writing scripts out for individuals and not taking the time to examine them, just giving them the painkillers that continue on with this problem and then eventually lead to heroin. We're looking to is putting a platform in place where pharmacists now, when somebody comes in with a prescription, they can punch in the information and find out where else they've been, what other prescriptions they had filled, and how recently they had them filled for the quantity they had them filled, which will help us to go after those individuals that are really bringing on a lot of the problems for the heroin here, and we're certainly going to go after full-time and hard the pushers of heroin here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, working with in partnership with our DAs, which is vitally important, and with the federal government to make sure that we tackle this problem and really try to eradicate the heroin epidemic here.
I mean, it seems there has been a shift because you're also saying that those people that are caught up using heroin are ones that need treatment and not incarceration. And that seems to be a shift across the country.
It is, very much so. And it was actually under Governor Corbett that we began the Justice Reinvestment Act, and now phase two is coming in under the present governor. And that took a lot of study and a lot of work, and the law enforcement community was involved, as well as the medical community, as well as social workers. And when we did the Veterans Court here in Pennsylvania, and I was very pleased to be appointed to the steering committee of the Veterans Court by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, we took the time to look at how we could best assist those veterans who are coming back, who are suffering from post-traumatic stress or whatever issues they may have. And we took the time. There were three of us who went to Graterford State Prison. And then Senator Stack was one, and we went in together. And we met with a very active veterans group they have there at Graterford State Prison and State Correctional Facility. And at Graterford, they said, look, we're where we should be because of the crimes we committed, violent crimes we committed. But we want you, and give you some ideas for this veterans court so you keep our brothers and sisters from having to come in here. So when we did that, we wanted to make sure that the judges, the prosecutors, and the defense attorneys were schooled in veterans issues and were able to look at alternatives. Certainly, if it was a violent crime, the individual is going to face incarceration. If they're dealing drugs, they're going to face incarceration. But if it's drug abuse, then maybe the alternative would be rehabilitation for treatment and analysis to help them get, once again, productive members of society.
The idea of creating treatment courts, whether it's drugs or veterans or some of these other, I guess, what, nonviolent issues?
Yeah, I've been a big proponent of DUI courts, the drug courts, the veterans courts. I think that they're really helping us in Pennsylvania address a number of issues.
I know that you have called for strengthening, or you have supported strengthening child protection laws, I guess post-Jerry Sandusky or maybe even before that, Jessica's Law, Megan's Law. Where do you stand on the statute of limitations when it comes to child sexual abuse? This has come up with the clergy abuse situation
Sure.
in Pennsylvania.
Sure. And it's not just the clergy abuse. It's a number of institutions that hide these predators. And I actually have, for 6 years now, been the author of the lifting the statute of limitations on criminal matters, extending it out, and extending the civil statute of limitations as well. There are a number of bills in the legislature, and one that just came over from the House, which I believe does something similar to mine, extends the statute of limitations for criminal prosecutions. And I think there's a bill moving in the House that opens the window for civil litigation for a period of time.
And you favor that?
Yes. Yeah. I think, look, these institutions cannot hide these individuals. And when it's a purposeful matter, then they should be able to face the consequences and rehabilitate those individuals who were taken advantage of and who were desecrated by these people that they were hiding. And I think that there's a number of organizations like that, and we have to take a good hard look at. As again, I don't paint with a broad brush. I paint with a narrow brush. We have to take a good hard look at those. But I have been the prime sponsor of those in the Senate. And we did, Marty, recently, within the past 2 years, pass a number of child protection and child welfare bills throughout the Senate and the House that were worked on by joint Senate and House committees that are really beneficial for the protecting our young people here in Pennsylvania.
Are you concerned, and I think some of the critics would say, if something, even abuse happened 10, 15, 20, maybe 40, 50 years ago, can you reliably get the evidence and the testimony and all the tools that you need in order to prosecute somebody?
There are certainly some constitutional questions that will arise, and one of them is, are the people there? Are there individuals that they can go back and interview? Are the witnesses willing to testify? Are the witnesses – is the memory still good for the witness? So there are all issues that do have to be addressed by the courts, by the prosecutors, by the plaintiff's attorneys going forward.
Do you think we've gotten to the bottom of the Jerry Sandusky sex abuse situation?
I think as far as Penn State, I mean, he's behind bars. That's a great thing.
Yes, he is.
And I think that the second mile – we still have to look at that. There was some taxpayer money had gone there. We have to take a good hard look at that. I know that there was talk at one time that the feds were looking at Second Mile and the AG's office under the present AG. I don't know what happened to it. I haven't heard anything more. But when elected, we will take a review of those files and take a look at the Second Mile to see if there was anything there protecting him or allowing him to go after those children.
Mm. Let me reintroduce you. That's John Rafferty, our guest in this hour of Radio Times. He's running for the Republican nomination for Attorney General here in Pennsylvania. It's essentially an open election. The current Attorney General, Kathleen Kane, is not running. In fact, faces criminal charges this summer. John Rafferty has been representing Pennsylvania's 44th District for four terms, and he joins us on Radio Times, part of a series of interviews that we've been doing with statewide candidates, inviting them to join us here in our Philadelphia studio for one-on-one interviews about why they want to be, in this case, Pennsylvania's next top prosecutor. 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Let me get Dr. Woodson from Germantown to join us. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yes. How you doing?
Good.
I just want to ask the incumbent or person running.
Yes.
He asked you a question earlier, and I listened to you on the radio about Catherine, Ms. Kane, and I didn't get a good sound feeling about, you know, how are you going to deal with the culture of the justice system that you're going to be running. There's a culture, and you've been there a long time. And I didn't seem to hear you really address that. I mean, she was about to uncover some things that are very, very critical in that's going on within the culture and the climate of the justice system. And I didn't hear you say, you know, real diligently, like, you know, this was something that you was, you know, going to attack.
Well, fair enough.
I mean,
let's take your question. Thanks for the call to Radio Times. Can you go deeper into that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm going to say she's still the Attorney General, so she can still uncover this if she's got it. She can lay it out on the table if she's got it. But as far as the culture that has been there, yes, I thought I was very clear in that we are not going to stand for some of the practices that have gone on. Certainly within the Office of Attorney General, there's going to be that separation. And with the judiciary branch, we're going to take a good hard look at there too and use our influence where it can to get rid of that good old boys network. If there's anything beyond that that was about to be uncovered, it can be uncovered. She's the sitting Attorney General. So we, without having all the facts in front of me of what she may be uncovering or about to uncover, what I've seen of all the emails, the communications about that are racially insensitive or pornography, that's not going to be tolerated. Mm. So I don't know how clear I can be.
Should all of that be released? I mean, she did hire someone from Maryland to come in and take a look at all of those emails. Should all of that be released and let the public in Pennsylvania decide?
$700,000 spent on that. Yes, or $7 million. I'm sorry, $7 million spent on that. What we've seen is piecemeal, which seems to be more personal attacks than the release of the information. I haven't seen the files. Just to be perfectly clear, I don't think any of us have seen the files. I don't know the information there. You have to be clear and careful when you do release information if there's any confidential information there. If emails back and forth are mentioning a confidential informant or an investigation of some kind. So you do have to go through those pieces of information to see. But I'd be willing to say, yeah, we'll release the information.
But is that something you think that is the job of the Attorney General or the Attorney General's office is to, rather than having someone from another state look at the emails, have someone inside the office be looking at these emails?
Well, I think what you can do is a couple things. If you're worried about some kind of conflict of interest because it may involve people from within inside the office, though you have an internal affairs division within the Office of Attorney General, and that's their job. You could also ask a respected law firm here in Philadelphia or a retired attorney general to head the investigation into the emails as well. You don't have to go to another state to find someone who's qualified to do so.
You have, in your time in the Pennsylvania legislature, worked to strengthen arson laws in particular. Why arson? Why has that interested you so much?
We had a series of fires in the Coatesville area a few years back. Eventually, it was found out it was some volunteer firefighters who were doing this, and they both were incarcerated at this point. And they were doing it in the evenings, and they were setting fire to residential properties primarily. And a lot of times, row homes. So if you lit one, a number of them would go up. So it caused a lot of pain to people, a lot of loss of property, a lot of overtime to municipalities. But the one event Marty, that really infuriated me and made me determined to work with Tom Hogan, the Chester County DA, to get this piece of legislation through. One person was killed in the arson fires in Coatesville. This lady was burned up in her home. She survived the Nazi death camps and came over to here to live. And I said, I will get the individual responsible, and I will do it by pushing the aggravated arson legislation. And we did. We got it in record time, and Governor Corbett had signed it. And I was very happy to that piece of legislation. And in my mind, I dedicate to the lady who lost her life in the Coatesville fires.
And you call – this is aggravated arson.
Aggravated arson, yes.
Meaning with the intention of killing somebody?
Well, if you have knowledge or should have knowledge of the property that you're setting fire to, it's that time that there's people on those properties and someone's injured, someone's killed, and you're facing aggravated arson, yes. And it's a residential properties.
Do you think we should toughen gun laws in Pennsylvania?
We have tough gun laws now in Pennsylvania, and I think that one thing that we should go back to doing is getting the illegal handguns off the streets. And we had a very effective gun task force here in Philadelphia, and it was Attorney General Tom Corbett and then DA Lynn Abraham worked together on that task force, and it was effective. We still fund it, but right now you're in a situation where the DA and the AG aren't necessarily communicating. So one of my programs and one of the things I've already talked to my colleagues about is expanding on that program to continue to fund it for City of Philadelphia, make it available to City of Pittsburgh and cities such as Erie, Reading, Harrisburg, Scranton, those areas that have illegal handguns to get them off of the streets to start curbing violence in those cities.
Do you think someone who has a gun in Pennsylvania, a gun they legally own, and it gets lost or stolen, do you think they have a duty to report that if that were to occur?
Did you say illegally owned? They're not going to report it if it was.
No, legally owned. Well, yeah, they legally own a gun and
gotcha.
It's lost or stolen.
If someone,
legally.
If I lose anything, whether it be a gun or my car keys, I'm reporting it stolen.
But do we need a law like that in Pennsylvania?
I think it's common sense. And going forward, we'll explore it with the General Assembly. The General Assembly will make those laws, not the Attorney General.
And not the Attorney General.
Yeah, yeah.
But if – and. Kathleen Kane, there were a couple. There was early on in her tenure, she did not want to uphold the marriage laws in Pennsylvania that prohibited gays and lesbians from getting married. That, of course, has changed. Are there certain laws, as you anticipate, if you become the next Attorney General, are there certain laws that you would not enforce, or do you feel it's the job of the Attorney General to enforce all the laws in Pennsylvania?
If you read the Commonwealth Attorneys Act. It is the job of the Attorney General to defend the statutes, the laws of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. That's your obligation. So if it's duly enacted by the legislature, the governor signed it, is a valid law, it is your job to defend them. Now, if there is some kind of conflict, an inherent conflict, mm-hmm. say if it's one of my laws, that one that I had offered, you then would talk to the Office of General Counsel and the governor's office to defend that legislation. But that is a responsibility of the Attorney General to defend the statutes of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Constitutionality or unconstitutionality of a statute or law is the purview of the courts. Very wise individuals set up the three branches of government. So the court will make the decision whether something is constitutional or unconstitutional.
So you would take it – I mean just to follow up there. So you would take it – let the courts decide, but you would prosecute something based on what the legislature had done.
Well, you would defend it.
If
somebody's challenging it, you would defend it before the court. Yes. Yes.
And then let the courts decide.
Absolutely. That's when you read the state constitution, read the federal constitution, it is the decision of the courts to decide constitutionality and unconstitutionality of a law.
And again, John Rafferty is our guest in this hour of Radio Times. He is running for the Republican nomination for Attorney General and joining us on Radio Times. And again, you can join us at 1-888-477-9499. Governor Wolf has instituted a moratorium on the death penalty in Pennsylvania. There have been three executions since it became constitutional in Pennsylvania. Interestingly, all of the prisoners asked to be executed. Where do you stand on the death penalty? Does it need a moratorium? Do we need more investigations into its fairness?
I know there's a legislative study going on about it. Who knows when that'll be done? I do favor the death penalty and those aggravating circumstances, such as taking the life of a police officer, a firefighter, an emergency responder in the course of their duties, taking the life of a child in a purposeful manner, taking the life of an elderly person. You know, the most vulnerable people in our society. I do favor the death penalty in those instances. The determination is made by the courts whether or not the death penalty is to be warranted. I disagreed with the governor on it, on his decision, at a time when he is chief of state, presiding over the Pennsylvania State Police when they caught the animal up in Northeast PA who killed Corporal Dixon. That kind of put a chilling effect on the prosecutor, what he could do in that area. And I did take him on because of I felt that he reached over his constitutional duties by doing that. Because the legislature, some years ago, I wasn't part of the legislature, had enacted the death penalty statute with aggravating circumstances. Courts have made the determination, judges and juries, based on the evidence presented and the facts presented and the law, that that individual deserved a death penalty. And the governor himself, as the executive said, well, I'm declaring a moratorium. So he acted on his own, bypassing the other two branches of the government. And I had issued an opinion about that, maybe five or six paragraphs. And we got a call from DA Seth Williams' office, who filed a lawsuit against the governor, Seth being a Democrat, the governor being a Democrat, because Seth had an individual or individuals sitting on death row, and they referenced my opinion in their brief. And I felt very strongly about it. Now, the Supreme Court at this time has said the governor has that authority, so you abide by the Supreme Court's decision, but I still felt that the governor overreaches constitutional authority in that regard.
Well, I do want to pick up on that, but I'm looking at the clock, and we do need to take a very short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. Again, our guest is State Senator John Rafferty, Republican here in Pennsylvania. And again, he is running for the Republican nomination for Attorney General. There is another Republican running for that same post, and there are three Democrats. And you get to vote on one of them on April 26th. That's the day of the state's primary. And we have featured one-on-one interviews with all of the candidates and as a kind of a public service to our listeners here in Pennsylvania. This is a very important post, as we all know. 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. And do stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoing, talking with John Rafferty. He's telling us why he wants to be Pennsylvania's next attorney general and why he wants to win the Republican nomination on Tuesday, April 26th. That is next week. That's the state's primary date. And again, you can join the conversation by calling us at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Any questions or comments that you might have for our guest? What's interesting, though, I mean, there's so many things about the death penalty, but the moratorium has only been in effect for, what, a year or so?
About a year, yes.
About a year. But the death penalty has only been used three times in the last couple of decades. So why do you think the reluctance to use a death penalty, and are too many defendants using the system to delay their execution?
There are a number of built-in delays through the state system and then, of course, the federal court system as well, and they are effectively used by some of the defendants or their legal teams. And I think there's been some reluctance on some of the governor's parts to sign. The governor needs to sign the execution order. And there's been reluctance on some of the governor's parts. And it's still a valid statute on the books. I know the study's going on. I have no idea when the study's going to end. I don't know when there's officially a report going to be done. I don't even know if this governor's still going to be in office when that happens. But it's certainly something that's caused some concern in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. But as you said, Marty, and validly so, it's been years since we've executed anybody. So it's not being – in Pennsylvania, it's not being used willy-nilly. We're following the law and the dictates of the law.
Let's talk a bit about education. And I read that perhaps this is more as a legislator than if you become the attorney general, that you support eliminating property taxes to fund schools. First of all, why?
Sure. In our area of the state, property taxes are driving people from their homes. Not only senior citizens, but young families that can no longer afford the rising cost of property taxes. And we have to look at alternative ways of funding education. Now, not only in conjunction with eliminating property taxes, I signed on to the legislation and backed the bipartisan, bicameral commission that came up with a new funding formula for education dollars. So you'll be able to drive some additional dollars into growing school districts, if you will, and help them to alleviate that property tax problem in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We're operating today under an antiquated funding scheme that started in the 1990s. It's called Hold Harmless, that says whatever you got last year, you're going to get this year. And there are districts throughout the Commonwealth that are graduating like 50 students. Whereas here in our area, if the private schools fall below 100 in a graduation class, they're getting ready to close them. And our public schools are graduating far more. We have great public schools, far more students. And in our areas, we're actually sending back to Harrisburg more money than we're getting back for education. We're about 18-19% of some of our school districts, maybe 14%, are being funded out of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, where some of the other districts that have lost students or continuing to lose them are getting 60-70% of their funding from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania because of Hold Harmless. So with the combination of eliminating school property taxes and working on that funding formula will help put more dollars into education, alleviate some of the burdens on the property owners.
And is the goal that no matter where you live, you're going to have equitable, fairer, more even amounts of money per student?
That was the goal of the funding commission, yes, yes. And it was, as I said, it was bipartisan, bicameral. And they came up with that, I'll say, 2 years ago. And we tried to put it into effect this time. The governor vetoed it. We just passed the fiscal code again, putting the funding formula into the fiscal code, where passed both houses with a veto-proof majority, R's and D's.
Let me read some comments here. An email from Beverly saying, what is John Rafferty's position on a woman's right to choose an abortion versus the right to life?
I'm pro-life.
What does that mean?
I'm pro-life. I've been pro-life all my life. Been a member of the pro-life caucus in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Certainly, we look at the exceptions, rape and incest, but no, I'm pro-life. So.
I mean, does that mean that you'd like to prevent a woman from getting an abortion? Where do you stand on Roe v. Wade then?
I know the law of the country, and it's the legislator's purview to change that. And I was very outspoken and very much upfront on the Kermit Gosnell situation here in Philadelphia where lies were taken.
Oh, and he is in prison.
He's in prison today.
And which is obviously where he belongs.
And we tightened up the regulations, and I was happy to vote for that because I want to make sure that things are done according to law and health and safety standards of the individuals. So I was very outspoken on that, very much critical of what was happening there, and want the state agencies and the Attorney General's office to coordinate better on those operations, on those type of clinicals that are operating in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to make sure they are up to health standards. But I follow the law of the land. I know what the law of the land is, but I am pro-life.
I mean, clearly, and we did several shows about the Kermit Gosnell clinic here in Philadelphia. Obviously, outrageous things that were
terrible.
criminal things that were going on there, and
terrible.
He is justifiably
terrible. And he's exactly
bars.
Where he needs to be. You're right, Marty. Exactly.
Do you see that, or did you see that as an outlier when it comes to abortion facilities or abortion providers?
I would hope so. My fear is there may be some more within the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. But I'm using that and hoping that was an extraordinary circumstance. So
that how in fact we did a show on this last week that the House considering ending abortions in Pennsylvania after 20 weeks. Where do you stand on that? And it was talked and then kind of shelved.
Yeah, but it
may come back.
I haven't seen the bill yet. I know the prime sponsor of the bill, Representative Rapsch, a good person.
Yes.
Because it hasn't come over to us, I have not read it, and I know it's been shelved. So I'll have to take a look at the bill before I offer a cogent argument on it.
Let me read another comment. You keep saying Mr. Rafferty represents the 44th district, as though everyone in your audience knows where that is.
Oh, good point.
Some of us don't. How about specifying where the 44th district is geographically? Thank you for that. Yes,
absolutely
correct.
Yeah, thank you for that question. That's very good. Well, the 44th includes Western Montgomery County, Northern and Western Chester County, and a portion of Southeastern Berks counties.
All right. So a little bit sort of northwest of us here in Philadelphia.
Yes. Yeah, that was a great question. Thank you.
Something I should have taken care of at the top of the hour. An email from Kathy. I'm a registered Democrat, so I can't vote for you in the upcoming primary. If you win the primary, run in the general election, why should I consider voting for you? In particular, I'm interested in knowing how you would work constructively with Governor Wolf, a Democratic governor whom you have opposed in the past 2 years as a member of the state Senate. Thanks. I'm enjoying the interview. That's from Kathy.
Thank you. That's great. It's vitally important whoever takes the office of Attorney General, and why I should be voted for is that unique background I have, that I have a business background, legal background, legislative background, much like Mike Fisher when he became Attorney General, still one of the most respected Attorney General here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And for four election cycles, I'm from the Southeast. You don't get elected just with Republicans. You need Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. And my last election, I was elected by 61-62% of the vote. I've been able to attract people from all aisles. And I've been one of those individuals who builds consensus and team building. I think it's vitally important in the Office of Attorney General to work with the 67 DAs to combat the criminal element here in Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And it's just as important to have a good working relationship with the legislature and with the governor. You have to work with them on policy issues for legislative changes in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, certainly for the budget for the Office of Attorney General, and you have to have that good working relationship. I may have differed with Governor Wolf on policy issues, but it's never been personal that I'm aware of, and I think that's an important aspect of the Office of Attorney General. You're at the intersection of law and policy when you're the Attorney General. Mm. You have to have that knowledge of law, be the chief lawyer and the chief law enforcement official for the Commonwealth, and you have to be able to understand policy and direct the initiatives that you want for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Only do so by working with the executive and the legislative branches.
But you don't work for them, right?
You do not work for them. You are independent, yes. Yeah, I said work with them. Yes, I got it. Now, the Office of Attorney General is an independently elected office, and you make your own decisions there. So, yes.
And why are you a Republican?
Upbringing, my parents, certainly a big fan of history. My undergraduate degree is in history. Abraham Lincoln is one that I greatly admire. Teddy Roosevelt is one of my all-time favorite presidents. Certainly, I'm one of the Green senators, even though I'm a Republican, but I like to say I'm a Teddy Roosevelt Republican in that regard. Teddy Roosevelt worked with business and worked with unions, which I've been able to do as a sitting senator. And with those individuals, and I was I admire Ronald Reagan, some of the policies Ronald Reagan had as well. And I think that I believe in trying to operate as good stewards of the fiscal dollar that were given by the taxpayers. And I believe in the adherence that if the Constitution provides for the tax dollars for those projects as outlined in the Constitution, then that's valid use of the taxpayer dollars. And I've always been – that's kind of a Calvin Coolidge philosophy. But I actually believe in that. And I like the Republican ideals and have been a Republican and continue to be a member of the Senate Republican Caucus. So.
What do you think about your party these days? It's a little bit off subject,
well,
but nonetheless.
It's look, I'm surprised at both parties. The veer to the left, the veer to the right. I think that with the primary and then the conventions, I think you'll see them moving back more to a central position. I don't get excited about that in primaries because I see it on both sides that they're saying some things that they may not be saying come September and October.
Mm. You mentioned the fact that you're a Green Republican. Where do you stand on fracking and the oversight, the regulation? Do you think there needs to be more of that when it comes to extracting natural gas here in Pennsylvania?
I've authored a number of pieces of legislation, including the riparian buffer bill for our clean waterways here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. The Office of Attorney General would become involved in those instances when they're referred in by the Department of Environmental Protection. So if they're not being referred in, there's a decision being made that they're going after civil fines instead of criminal penalties. And I think the Office of Attorney General needs to step up and work with DEP to better oversight that area. And again, I'm not going to paint with a broad brush because there are some really good individuals and industries and a lot of jobs. You paint with a narrow brush, and if there's someone really violating the regulations and the laws of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, they have to face the full fury of the law.
And do you think, I mean, is that part of the Attorney General's office? Does that need to be beefed up?
The environmental crime section is certainly one that will have to be enhanced. And again, you have to have that cooperation with DEP because when you read the Commonwealth Attorneys Act, those type of cases are referred in by the Department of Environmental Protection, which answers to the governor. So you have to have that good working relationship. I don't know what it's like today, but you have to have that good working relationship to make sure that the cases that warrant criminal prosecution are referred over to your office for criminal prosecution.
There have been, I think, three Republican attorneys general who have run for governor in Pennsylvania. Governor Corbett was the only one that won. Is this a stepping stone for you?
Marty, when I announced my candidacy in June, and I've continued to reiterate to the people, and I reiterated to today, I'm running for attorney general. If elected, I will serve 4 years. If reelected, I will serve 4 years. I have no intention of running for the U.S. Senate. I have no intention of running for governor. I'm running to be attorney general. The people of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania deserve to have someone there for those 8 years to steady that ship once again. They need to know that the chief law enforcement official, the chief lawyer for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, is going to make the right decisions for the right reasons, not according to political polls or under a political spotlight or personal vendettas. And additionally, as a chief lawyer of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, the people, the professional people in the Office of Attorney General, need to know that an individual is going to be there to work with them on morale and professional responsibility. It's incumbent upon the people of Pennsylvania, and it's incumbent upon the Office of Attorney General, that the individual pledge to stay there as the attorney general. The AG is often the aspiring governor.
Yes,
and I am emphatic. I'm not running for governor. I'm not running for U.S. attorney or U.S. senator. I am running for attorney general. That's my game plan.
Do you understand, and I can see from comments that we've had here, just the level of anger and mistrust and frustration that the public has about elected officials, about office. In this case, we're talking about the office of the attorney general. Can you understand why people just are so turned off?
I do, and I see it. I see the anger playing out with certainly on Bernie on the Democrat side and Donald on the Republican side. And I understand that. And a lot of it, I think, is focused on Washington. There's times in the state level we all get a little frustrated with things not being done. But I've always been one of those that has been able to work across the aisle and tackle complicated issues. And my whole goal in the Senate of Pennsylvania and for Attorney General is going to be do what's best for the people of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Sometimes you have to take the hard decision and the hard stand. It might not be one that your political people like, but you're trying to do something for the betterment of the people of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
And what is an example of you working across the aisle as a state senator?
Well, certainly I did it with Jessica's law. Here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, I've done it on the DUI legislation where we closed the repeat offender loopholes here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and we've introduced the ignition interlock for first-time offenders, and the transportation bill. That was really one that I took about 2 years to work on and fashion a piece of legislation that would benefit the people of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania in all facets of transportation, roads, bridges, mass transit, short-line railroads, our airports, our ports, and we worked on a comprehensive piece of legislation, and I included, Marty, anyone with interest in the transportation field, R's and D's. Senator Costa, who's a Democrat leader, met with me several times in my office to help formulate the wording and the language, so much so that when we passed the bill.
This is Act 89,
right? Act 89. It came out of the Senate 45-5. We had 30 Republicans, 20 Democrats, 45-5. And when we announced what became Act 89, when I had the public announcement of what the details of the bill were, we had on the stage the chairman of the – or the president of the Chamber of Commerce and the Business Council here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania standing with Pat Gillespie, who was then president of the Building and Trades. We had the Teamsters. We had the non-union truckers. We had the farm community. We had AARP. We had the bicyclists, the pedestrians. We had – all facets of the organizations brought together support the legislation, and we were very careful in how we worded it and made sure it benefited the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania going forward.
We have to end on that note. John Rafferty, thank you very much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you, Marty. I really appreciate being here.
No problem. And he's a Republican. He's running for the Republican nomination for Attorney General here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes. You can find out much more about the program. I'm Marty Moscowen. Thanks for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times, and do stay with us. We'll be right back.